Yeah, now we're on. Shalom to everybody. Being that we only have one short class, and we only have 40 minutes left to talk about a huge topic like Eretz Yisrael, this class is going to be a crash course on why is Eretz Yisrael so important. Let's begin together with source number 4. The Sifrei on Sefer Dvarim, Parshat Re'eh Yudbet, tells us the following story, source 4. No, that's not the one. Girls, there are some extra sheets here. By the way, what is Sifrei? No. Sorry, I didn't get. Okay. Now does everyone have the sheet? This Sifrei is being written... first of all, what is Sifrei? Sifrei is Midrash Halacha. Why is that important? Because a lot of times when people say Midrash, they roll up their eyes and say, that's just a story, and we don't know if it's meant to be taken literally. That's true regarding Midrash Rabbah, Midrash Tanchuma, Yalkut Shimoni. That's Midrash Agadah. But there is also Midrash Halacha, which is halachically binding. And it's true, sometimes it's written like a story, like in this case, but nevertheless, this is Chazal. The same Tanaim who wrote the Mishnah are writing Sifrei. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, Rabbi Matya ben Charash, Rabbi Chananya ben Achi, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yonatan. A group of 4 Tanaim. Please follow inside, source number 4. Shayu Yotzim Chutz La'aretz. The Tanaim lived in the land of Israel, but most of the Jews throughout the second Beit HaMikdash, they all lived in Bavel. They never made Aliyah. It was difficult, for sure, after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. There was no Jewish army, no economy, no water. So they were leaving to join the rest of the Jews in Bavel. V'igiu leflatom v'zachru et Eretz Yisrael. They crossed the border into Lebanon, and it hit them. Hey, we have just left the land of Israel. Zakfu enehem, they looked up to heavens. Zalgu dimotehem, and they started crying. Vikaru bigdehem, they started tearing their clothes. They went crazy. How could we leave the land of Israel? Ricky, yeah. Aiden, yeah. Leah, Naama. They said, how could we leave the land of Israel? And they remembered this pasuk, Dvarim, Yud Aleph. Virishtem ota vishavtem ba ushmartem la'asot et kol hachukim ha'ele. This is the source of the mitzvah to live and conquer and settle the land of Israel. But that's not enough. Girls, take out your highlighters. I see Olivia is ready. Chazru uva'u limkomam. They turned around. They came back to the land of Israel. Amru. And they declared. Here's the punchline. Yeshivat Eretz Yisrael shkula keneged kol amitzvot sheba Torah. Living in Israel is equated with the rest of the mitzvot put together. That is heavy. In other words, there are 613 mitzvot, but there are only a couple mitzvot, like learning Torah. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Living in Israel is on the same level as learning Torah. Observing Shabbat is equated with the rest of the mitzvot. Living in Israel is equated with observing Shabbat. The question is why? And that's our topic for today. What do Chazal mean when they say that living in Israel is equated with the rest of the mitzvot put together? Let me ask you. I mentioned a minute ago, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Learning Torah is equated with the rest of the mitzvot also. How do you understand that? Excuse my back, I just want to save time. How do you understand why is learning Torah equated with the rest of the mitzvot? Any suggestions? Dedicating
yourself
to God? Dedicating? Yafeh, that's a possible explanation. Any other ideas? That's not the most common explanation. Sarah? It gives you motivation to do the other mitzvot. Very nice, but that's not the most popular. I'm not saying that it's wrong. Sorry? Exactly. Chevra, because it enables us to do the other mitzvot. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that the most common example is that why is it so important to learn Torah? Girls, if you don't know the laws of Netilat Yadayim, you don't have an ice cube chance in hell of guessing them. Right? If you don't learn the laws of Tzitzit or the laws of Tefillin, you don't know what to do. Learning Torah enables you to do the rest of the mitzvot. And that's why it's equated to the rest of the mitzvot. Same thing regarding living in Israel. Why? Anybody catch this? Is the Torah Tmima. Because so many mitzvot can only be done in the land of Israel. Let's eat inside. Sarah, I hope you're continuing with us afterwards on the second semester. We need you. Chevra, let us look together in the Torah Tmima, source 13. This is on the Sifrei that we just mentioned. Lo nit bayar tam davar zeh. It's not clear what do Chazal mean when they say that living in Israel is equated to the rest of the mitzvot. Ve'yitachin lomar, and it makes sense to explain it as follows. Mishum debichlal I efshar l'kayem kol mitzvot kulan shebat Torah rak be'eretz Yisrael. Because most of the mitzvot you can only do in the land of Israel. There are 58 agricultural mitzvot that can only be done in the land of Israel. National mitzvot are in the land of Israel. I once counted 315 out of 613, that's most of the mitzvot, can only be done in the land of Israel. 315. And if so, this is the first explanation. If our question is why is living in Israel such a super mitzvah on a higher level than other mitzvot, right? Equated with the rest of the mitzvot combined. That's our question. Answer number one, the answer. Have you heard of the Torah Tmima, by the way? No? Okay. He is a super important sefer. And you will be hearing a lot about him over life. Bezrat Hashem. That's his explanation, the explanation of the Torah Tmima. Why is living in Israel so important? Because just like learning Torah, it enables a great quantity of mitzvot. What are we talking about, a great quantity of mitzvot? Well, most of the mitzvot can only be done in the land of Israel. Don't take my word for it. The Maharal in Source 14, he says, Rov mitzvot ha-Torah tuluyot ba'aretz. What is he referring to? Well, we're referring to the mitzvot ha-tuluyot ba'aretz, 58 agricultural mitzvot. We mention all the national mitzvot, like serving in the army, like speaking Hebrew, like working the land. Girls, do you remember we once spoke about how going to work, sweeping the floor, planting a tree, working in high tech, going to work in the land of Israel, you could put in an 8-hour workday, that is a mitzvah. Mitzvah of settling the land. The Sefer Charedim, in source number 15, one of the great Achronim, lived about 500 years ago, he writes as follows, V'katav Rambam b'minyan taryag mitzvot yeshivat eretz Yisrael kol et varega she'adam be'eretz Yisrael hu mikayem ha-mitzvah hazu. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of living in Israel? Eden, help us with the translation. Kol et varega. Every minute, every moment, every second that you are here, you are doing another mitzvah. Every second that you are in Israel. Do you remember we spoke about once how even walking 4 steps in the land of Israel? Okay. Walking in the land of Israel is a mitzvah. You remember we learned the Vilna Gaon, who points out that there are only 2 mitzvot that you can fulfill even when you're in a coma? And what's the other? Sukkah and living in the... And the only difference is Sukkah is just 7 days a year. Living in Israel is like living your whole life in a Sukkah. So this is point number one.
Well, what does living in a coma mean? Does it mean existing here, actually?
Even if you're in a coma. Being here, that's what the Sefer Charedim says. Every second, kol eit varega. Sorry? If you pay taxes, that's also a mitzvah. Do you know that Tzitz Eliezer says when you pay taxes in a Jewish state, it has the halacha of tzedakah? Where does tax money go? It goes to paying for corona vaccines. It goes for paying for tanks and airplanes, right? It goes for welfare. Paying taxes in a Jewish state, that's also a mitzvah. Sarah, kol hakavod. Everything that we do in the land of Israel gives us an unbelievable quantity of mitzvot. Now, all of you have been learning for at least 12 and a half years, and all of you know from experience that as soon as you hear the word quantity, it is just a matter of minutes before you will hear the word quality. And that's the explanation of the Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban in Source 16. A very famous Ramban. It's based on the Sifrei. I have to point out that this is really Chazal. It's not really the Ramban, but people quote the Ramban, and the Ramban adds on other things here. So we'll learn this classic Ramban. Surah 16, Vayikra Yudchet Kafei. Minayin Yanazem Ruba Sifrei. Again, what is Sifrei? What kind of Midrash? Midrash Halacha. Fantastic. On the Pasuk Vavaretem Mehira. If we don't do the mitzvot, God is going to stop the rain, and He's going to send us to exile. And what does it say in exile? Ukshartam leot al yedchem vayulitotafot ben enichem uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha visharecha. Continue putting on tefillin. Continue writing mezuzot, even in exile. Af al pishani magle etchem mina aretz lechutz laaretz. Even if you don't follow the mitzvot, and Hashem says, I'm going to have to send you to exile. Heyu mitzuyanim b'mitzvot. Continue giving tzedakah. Continue putting on tefillin. Why? Shekishitachzeru lo yualechem chadashim. So that when you come back to Israel, you won't be out of practice. Girls, mitzvot in chutz la'aretz are just practice. It's not the real thing. The Chafetz Chaim, who lived in Poland, he tried making aliyah. He bought land in Petach Tikva, but unfortunately, his wife, ironically, he was in his 80s, his second wife was in her 40s, she became very sick, and they had to sell the tickets, the boat tickets, in order to buy medicine for his wife. That's why he never made aliyah. They actually bought land, and he writes that mitzvot and chutz laaretz are just worth 5%. This mezuzah that you see on the door, if you were to take that same mezuzah, put it on a door in Teaneck, New Jersey, it's just worth 5%. Because the real quality of mitzvot is in the land of Israel. And he gives a mashal. Mashal la'adon, I think in the original it's a king. Sheka'as al ishto, a king was angry at his wife. V'shalcha le'beit aviyah. He sent her, go back to your father's home. I don't want to see you in the palace. Amarla, but he said, Havim mitkashete tachshitim. I want you to continue dressing like a queen. Don't walk around in a bathrobe. Don't walk around in a house in your hair curlers or slippers. Continue dressing like a queen. Why? Shekish tachzari lo yualai chadashim. So that when I bring you back to the palace, you won't be out of practice. Girls, you all heard of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks? He tells about the first time he met with the Queen of England. They made him read a long list of protocols. Do you know, for example, that when you speak to the Queen of England, you are not allowed to begin a topic? She chooses what you're going to talk about. The Queen of England drinks her tea with her pinky out, like this. The Queen of England, I'm just joking, that's not the protocol. Right? When you're a queen, you have to act like a queen. Everyone's taking your picture. Everyone's watching you no matter what you do. So even if you're kicked out of the palace, you have to continue acting like a queen. Girls, what is the Hava Mina? What might you have thought? It's not coming to teach us that mitzvot and chutz la'aretz are not important. It's coming to teach us that they are important. Because I might have thought that you don't have to do mitzvot at all in chutz la'aretz. Comes the Torah and says, yes, you do. But it's not on the same level. And you know what? This isn't just Chazal, it's actually in the Torah itself. Chevra, let's look together in Surah 17, Dvarim Perakei Pasuk Kachet. Hashem tells Moshe, Va'ata po amodi madi, stand here with me. Va'dabra elecha et kol mitzvah v'chukim v'mishpatim asher telamdem. I want to teach you, Moshe, all of the Torah, that you should teach all of Israel, va'asu ba'aretz asher anochi noten lehem l'rishta, so that they can do in the land that they are about to enter. Girls, the mitzvot are to be done in the land of Israel. Or another pasuk, Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. Zot ha-mitzvah ha-chukim va-mishpatim asher tziva Hashem elukechem lelamed etchem. These are the Torah and the mitzvot that Hashem is teaching us. La'asot ba'aretz, to do in the land of Israel. Asher atem ovrim shama l'rishta. Girls, in other words, quality-wise, all of the mitzvot are tliyot ba'aretz. Because even if you can put on tefillin and you can put up a mezuzah in chutz la'aretz, it's just worth 1/20 of the real mitzvah. And this is explanation number 2, that of the Sifrei and the Ramban. What does it mean that Eretz Yisrael is equated with the rest of the mitzvot? It's a super mitzvah. Point number 2 is that it enables not just a greater quantity of mitzvot, but it enables the real quality of all mitzvot. Mitzvot in Israel are worth 20 times. By the way, where does the Chavetz Chaim get that mitzvot and chutz la'aretz are just worth 5%? I have been looking for years for his source. I don't know. But the Chavetz Chaim, he's the Mishneh Berurah. He can say whatever he wants. And I will quote him as the source. But I imagine he got it from a Kabbalistic source. I don't know Kabbalah. So I imagine it's from a Kabbalistic source. What the Chavetz Chaim says that mitzvot and chutz la'aretz are just 1/20. Where does he get that 1/20 from? 1/20 of Jews left. What? Chevra, point number 3. And I have to make an honest, personal statement. Girls, this next line is what convinced me to make Aliyah. I was 17 years old, and I wanted to live life and to be remembered. I wanted to do something significant in life. I didn't want to just live, be another social security number who lived, died, forgotten. I wanted to do something that would have ramifications even 500 years from now, right? Remember we spoke, Rav Kook writes that young people are the most idealistic. Don't lose your idealism. But I was looking for a cause, and then I learned the Rivash, which changed my life. Evra, the Rivash was one of the great Rishonim of Spain. He is a Talmud of the Ramban, source number 20. In Shelot u'Tshuvot of the Rivash Siman Kuf Aleph, he was asked our question, why is living in Israel on a higher level than other mitzvot? Why is it more important than lulav, etrog, shofar, right? Why? And he explains as follows, Aval Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, source 20, Eina mitzvah l'sha'ata. It is not just a temporary mitzvah, like most mitzvot. Most mitzvot, you pick up a lulav and etrog, you shake it, put it down, it lasts 10 seconds. You say birkat hamazon, it lasts 3 minutes. You hear a shofar, 30 kolot, takes about 2 minutes, and then you're finished. Living in Israel is not just a temporary mitzvah. Ela mitzvah mitkayemet leolam hi. It is an eternal mitzvah, umitzvah v'toeleti l'chol Yisrael. And it is a mitzvah, and it benefits all of Israel, not just me, but all of Israel, not just in my generation, but in all generations. Shelo tishkaka eretz kedosha b'yad tmeim. That the Holy Land should not be in the hands of the Gentiles, it should be in the hands of Am Yisrael. Ve'en lemeidim mimena l'shar mitzvot. That's why you cannot learn from this mitzvah to other mitzvot. Girls, if you learn Gemara, you know very often Chazal learn from one mitzvah to the next. How do we know that you have to eat on the first night of Sukkot a kizayit of bread in the sukkah? We learn it because on the first night of Pesach, you have to eat a kizayit of matzah. Okay, you will learn from one mitzvah to the other. Girls, there is one mitzvah which is in a higher category than other mitzvot. You cannot learn any other mitzvah from Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The question is why? The Rivash explains, you know what? Did anybody catch the Rivash? Anybody understand what he's saying? There are really two points here. Let me explain through Yosef Trumpeldor and Tel Chai. Has anybody heard of Yosef Trumpeldor? Tel Chai? The girls in Kitvei Rav Kook, I tell you the story of Tel Chai. Yosef Trumpeldor and his friends saw that there was going to be some kind of partition of the land of Israel. This is after the Balfour Declaration. The Arabs wanted a state. The Jews wanted a state. It was becoming pretty clear that where there is Jewish settlement, that's going to be the Jewish state. Where there are Arabs, that's going to be the Arab state. A group of 18-year-olds, just like you, 18-year-olds, had a brilliant idea. They said, if the map of Israel is going to be drawn by where Jews settle, let us make a settlement as far north as possible so that here and south will all be in Jewish hands. Makes good sense, right? Everybody catch their idea? This will change. They say, if we have a Jewish settlement over here, then even if all this is empty, all this will be included in the Jewish state. Because if this is included in the Jewish state, everything south of it will be in the Jewish state. You got it? Chavra, why was Jabotinsky against it? Why was David Ben-Gurion against it? Everyone was against it. What's the problem with settling so far away? Again? Right. If the Arabs attack, we can't send reinforcements. And in fact, that's what happened. Arabs attacked Tel Chai. Out of the 18 kids, 8 were killed in one day. Girls, nobody should know what it is to lose a friend. Has anybody, Chas V'Shalom, lost a friend who died at a young age? Anybody from Boston? There was a guy who was learning in yeshiva 3-4 years ago named Ezra Schwartz. You heard of him? And he was killed in a terrorist attack. Girls, I teach in 5 midrashot. In all of the midrashot, there was at least one girl from Boston who was so upset that all of the other students were upset. You couldn't learn. That's because one girl in the group had a friend who was killed. Can you imagine losing 2 friends? Chas v'shalom. Imagine 3, 4. Girls, this group of 18 was living in the same capsule, in the same kibbutz, all together as a very close-knit unit. And all of a sudden, half of them are murdered in one day. But these 18-year-olds were so idealistic, they did not break. And not only that, they called more friends, and eventually they set up another yeshuv in memory of their 8 friends, named Kiryat Shmona. Anybody heard of Kiryat Shmona? Yeah. Ironically, it's even more famous than Tel Chai. This what they built, these 2 settlements, and they decided the international borders of the state of Israel. Do you realize the power of 18 idealistic 18-year-olds? Girls, the United Nations planned the partition plan based on these kids. Now, when these 18-year-olds went to settle all the way up north, they were not going because Tel Chai had a nice view. They didn't go because they thought this pasture is good for our sheep. We will become millionaires. They went in the name of Am Yisrael. They were shlichim. They said, we will be the pioneers. Somebody has to do it. We are going to go and ensure that the northern Galilee panhandle will be in the map of Israel. Chevra, do you realize what they did? That's what the Rivash is saying. The Rivash is saying, and this is point number three, why is living in Israel the only mitzvah which allows you to tell a goy to be mechalel Shabbat and an iser d'rabbanan? Why is it the only mitzvah that a woman can instigate divorce to divorce her husband? Why is there such power to this mitzvah? The Rivash gives a third explanation. The Rivash says it is the only mitzvah which is for all of Israel. Parenthetically, not just for me, but for all of Israel. And point number two, for all generations, not just for our generation. Girls, do you see these are two different points? In other words, shaking a lulav helps me. It doesn't affect a Jew in Australia, and it definitely doesn't affect my grandchildren. Learning Torah affects me, but when I close the book, I am finished. And it doesn't affect a Jew in Australia, and it definitely doesn't affect my great-great-grandchildren 500 years from now. On the other hand, when a Jew makes Aliyah, he is moving his family tree. Racheli, when a Jew makes Aliyah, he is moving his family tree to its final destination. Or let me put it this way, any Jew who's going to be around in Yemot HaMashiach will have had one great-great-grandmother who had the guts to make Aliyah. And she was the one who saved the family tree forever. And Maya, it could be you. That's a historical decision. Girls, this is what convinced me to make Aliyah. Again, I didn't just want to live and die and be forgotten. I wanted to do something that has ramifications. Now, you know, with all due respect to ourselves, our children also have free will. Our children can choose, they don't want to be religious. Our grandchildren can choose, they don't want to be religious. Somewhere along the line, somebody can choose, they don't want to be religious. So, my learning Torah, my being religious, it doesn't ensure anything 500 years from now. But when I move the family tree to the land of Israel, even if somebody decides to take off their kippah, they're going to be living here. Sorry? Theoretically, there are Jews that leave the land of Israel. My mother, she should live and be well. She is 84, just celebrated her 84th birthday. She has more than 100 descendants. In other words, 5 children, a lot of grandchildren, a lot of great-grandchildren. We all, Baruch Hashem, got married young and have large families. She has more than 100 descendants. There is one, only one out of 100, who temporarily is in the land of Colorado. I don't know how long he's going to be in Colorado. He's probably going to come back. Do you see, Aiden? In other words, theoretically, yeah, there might be one or two who do decide to leave. But the family is going to be here. Sorry?
Did your parents move to Israel?
Yeah, they followed us. I just bring my mother as an example because she has more descendants than I do.
Yeah, but that's so cool.
And you know what? That's interesting. You know what? What Aiden is saying is very important. Because it's not just your descendants. It's also your parents. And also your siblings. But in terms of history, a historical decision, when Ricky decides to come back to the land of Israel, she is ensuring the Kestenbaum family forever and ever. And that is a historic decision. Chevra, do you catch both points? Again, it's the only mitzvah which is for all of Israel, not just me. And number two, for all generations, even 500 years from now. Let us go on. So, point number four, we're running out of time. Let us look at the Chatam Sofer. 25. Bechatam Sofer, Chelik Bet, Siman Resh Lamed Daled, talks about why the Rambam does not list the mitzvah of living in Israel as one of the 613 mitzvot. He writes, you should live in the land of Israel. Lo lam yadura adam be'eretz Yisrael. So why doesn't he list it as one of the 613 mitzvot? The Chatam Sofer explains, source 25, Mipnei Kiddusha Sheba. Because the importance of living in Israel, it's not just a mitzvah. It's not even just a super mitzvah. It is living a life of holiness. If I have to choose between living in a country where not only the mezuzot are kosher, but the door is also holy, right? You know, people kiss mezuzot because it's holy. Jonathan Pollard, he just came last week to the land of Israel. What was the first thing he did? He kissed the land of Israel. Girls, even though it's Corona, I can kiss the buildings of Israel. The fruit is holy, the people are holy, the language is holy. The Chatam Sofer says, it's not just one mitzvah. It is living a life in a different planet, a planet of Kedusha. And this is point number four. Why living in Israel is not just another mitzvah? Why is it a super mitzvah? Why is it equal to the rest of the mitzvot? Have you all heard of the Chatam Sofer? He is a heavyweight. And if he says something, that obligates us. He says, why is it so important? Because it brings a life of total holiness, kiddusha. Usually in life, your sfarim are kodesh. Your mezuzah is kodesh. But your apples and oranges are not holy. And your buildings are not holy, and your language is not. In the land of Israel, everything is holy. Point number five. Rav Kook, obviously, as always, has something interesting to say about why living in Israel is such a special mitzvah. And just a quick summary. Until now, we have seen that living in Israel is a means to other ideals. It's a means to enable a greater quantity of mitzvot, a means to achieve a greater quality of mitzvot. It's a means to help all of Am Yisrael for all generations. It's a means to live a life of kedusha. Girls, do you all know what is the next word that I'm going to say, that Rav Kook is going to say? If it's not a means, then it must be a end. Let's see it inside. Rav Kook, in source 21. Eretz Yisrael dome l'Talmud Torah. This is from his introduction, paragraph 15 to Shabbat Haaretz. Living in Israel is like learning Torah, like we saw. They're both equated with the rest of the mitzvot. V'Talmud Torah, af al pi shu mevi lidei mitzvot kulan, mikol makom chalila lomar she'erkah shel Torah einenu ki'im hechsher l'mitzvah le'maseh mitzvot. No. Aval hi elyona v'chashuva b'kedushata b'fnei atzma. Girls, many people, like we said before, the Torah Tmima said, and Sarah pointed it out, that learning Torah enables you a greater quantity of mitzvot. But that is not the whole reason why learning Torah is important. Because if that is the case, then we should skip Sefer Vayikra. Why? Sefer Vayikra doesn't apply today, most of the Sefer. But we continue learning Sefer Vayikra, and we learn Baba Kama even, and Baba B'metzia, and Baba Batra, even if I don't have an ox and it doesn't gore anybody's cow. Why? Because learning Torah is important, even if it's not going to bring you to do other mitzvot. It's not just a means, right? For a man to learn the laws of Nerot Shabbat or Nida, or for a woman to learn the laws of Brit Milah, it still is considered Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. The same thing regarding Eretz Yisrael. It's not just a means to bring more Kiddusha and more mitzvot and a greater qual. It's not just a means, but it is an end unto itself. And he brings an interesting proof. Jump down to the end of source 21. We just read in the Torah, what was the last wish of Yaakov Avinu, of Yosef HaTzadik? What was their last wish? To be buried in the land of Israel. Girls, Moshe Rabbeinu's last wish, to come into the land of Israel. This was before, especially Yaakov and Yosef, this was before the giving of the Torah. If the importance of living in Israel is to enable you to take Trumot and Masrot, etc., there were no Trumot and Masrot in the times of Yaakov Avinu. And you know what? Even if there was, he was dead. You can't do mitzvot when you are dead. You don't benefit from the Kedusha when you are dead. You don't benefit from the quality when you are dead. So if so, why is it an important thing to be buried in the land of Israel? Rav Kook says, just like learning Torah. It's not just a means to learn what you have to do. It's not just a means to do more mitzvot, but it is an end unto itself. Now, what does that mean? Chevra Rav Kook in Source 23 is a lot more clear. In the very first paragraph of his Sefer Orot, Orot Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kook writes, Eretz Yisrael, everybody see it? Source 23. Eretz Yisrael einena davar chitzoni. Eretz Yisrael is not something external. Kinyan chitzoni, an external acquisition for Am Yisrael. Girls, this shirt. My wife bought this shirt. Somebody else could have bought this shirt. This pen. There is no essential connection between me and this pen. Somebody else could have bought it. Somebody else can use it. Just like a Frenchman, there's no essential connection between him and France. A lot of Irish moved to America. A lot of Italians, Japanese moved to America. There is no essential connection between a Japanese and the land of Japan. Do you all see that? It's external. It's coincidental. His parents lived here. He will live here. His grandson will live in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, right? There's no... Rak betor emtsa'i lematara shelitagdut haklalit v'achzakat kiyuma hachomri o afilu haruchani. Here Rav Kook is corresponding with Theodore Herzl. Do you remember Theodore Herzl said, if we can't get the land of Israel, let's set up a state in Uganda. Remember? The Ugandan plan. Chevra, Rav Kook is telling Herzl, Eretz Yisrael is not just a place to hold the Jews. It's not just a means to hold the Jewish people. That could be in Uganda, it could be anywhere else. Or afilu aruchani. Here Rav Kook is corresponding with Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Rav Hirsch writes that what is the importance of living in Israel? Because you do more mitzvot in Israel. Like the Torah Tmima. According to that, do you know that Rav Hirsch was not a Zionist? Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch was an anti-Zionist. Because he said, if you could be more religious in Germany, stay in Germany. If you can be more religious in Volozhin or in Borough Park, stay in Borough Park. Because according to Rav Hirsch, the whole idea of Eretz Yisrael is to get you to be more religious. Girls, what's the problem with that? He contradicts Chazal. Rav Hirsch is contradicting Judaism because we learned in the past, and we'll see it again, just a quick review. Chevra, the Tosefta in source number... Where's the Tosefta? Yeah, Toda. Source number 10, Tosefta, Avodah Zarah, Dalit Gimel. The Tosefta tells us, Yishrei Adam Be'eretz Yisrael, a person should live in the land of Israel. Source 10. Afilu Be'er Sheruba Goyim. It's better to live in Ramallah with non-Jews. Or Kibbutz Deganya. It's better to live in a non-religious kibbutz in the land of Israel. Velo Bechutz Laretz Afilu Be'er Shekula Yisrael. Rather than living in Volozhin or living in Borough Park. It's better to live in a city of idolaters in the land of Israel. Why? Here's the punchline. Again, like we saw before. Milamed sheyishivat Eretz Yisrael shkula keneged kol mitzvot shebatorah. You can highlight it again. because it teaches us that living in Israel is equated with the rest of the mitzvot put together. Girls, according to Rav Hirsch, if the whole idea of Eretz Yisrael is that you get more kosher food in Israel, and that in Israel there are more yeshivas and more mikvaot, thank God it's true. Today, Israel is the Torah center of the world. But what about when she wasn't? What about when Israel was in the hand of idolaters? It still was better to live in the land of Israel than in a religious city in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Because, I just want to finish up the point, Rav Kook continues, what is living in Israel? Living in Israel is not just a means to be more religious, or to have a Jewish state, or to have more kosher food. Hi chativa atzmutit kshura bekesher chayim im ha'uma. Israel, we have a living, loving bond with the land of Israel, which is ava she'ena tluya b'davar. It doesn't depend on other mitzvot. Notice, the term is mitzvot ha'tluyot ba'aretz, not aretz tluya b'mitzvot. The specialness of Eretz Yisrael is not because we can do Trumot or Masrot, but the opposite. Hashem gives us extra mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael because the land is important in unto itself. And this is point number five. Point number five, and this is the explanation of Rav Kook. Why is it a super mitzvah to live in the land of Israel? Not just as a means for more kedusha or more mitzvot, but we have a loving, living bond between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. We love each other. What would you say if somebody comes in and says, I'm getting married? And somebody asks him, why do you want to get married? And he says, because I need somebody to do my laundry. Nama, what would you say? He missed the boat. Right? He doesn't know what love is about. You don't get married because you want somebody to support you, or to hug you, or to do your laundry. You get married because you love the person. Chevra? Racheli? Say you meet the right guy, and you bring him home, and your mother, Miriam Davis Berger, she was my student 25 years ago. She says, Racheli, tell me about him. Racheli says, well, he's really idealistic, and he's a Talmid Chacham, and he's Zionist, and he's funny, and he's cute. And your mother makes a really nice dinner. And afterwards, you say, no, Ima, what do you think? Imagine, she wouldn't do this, but imagine your mother saying, he's funny, but I've met funnier. He's cute, but I've met cuter. He's smart, but I've met smarter. She missed the boat. Girls, you don't love a person because of A, B, and C. You love him because you love him. Or in the worlds of Israeli kids, if you ask a child, an Israeli, Lama, why did you do that? You know what he will answer? Kacha. Because. Ever tell you about Roy Campanella? Roy Campanella was an all-star catcher of the Los Angeles Dodgers, where at the height of his career, he was in a car accident. He was paralyzed from his neck down. What was even worse was after a month, his wife left him. She wasn't interested in being married to a paraplegic. She wanted to be married to an all-star, to famous status, a millionaire. This guy can't even feed himself. The end of the story, Baruch Hashem, he ended up marrying his physical therapist. And in his autobiography, he writes, the good thing that came out of this tragic car accident was that it taught me what is love and what isn't love. My first wife did not love me. She loved the status of being married to an all-star baseball player. My second wife, she loves me. This is what's called in Pirkei Avot, Ava Sheina Tluya Badavar. That's what real love is. Real love is we love the land of Israel, even if she's desert. Even if she's in the hand of idolaters. Girls, I am going to finish off with a picture. Because, you know, the Arabs claim that the land of Israel belongs to them. We claim she belongs to us. Now, this sounds sort of familiar, because this is like a classic plot of any movie, right? There are two guys fighting over the same girl. It's like in Popeye. Remember Popeye? There's Popeye and Bluto are fighting over olive oil. Now, throughout history, you have two men fighting over one woman. In some generations, they joust it out, and the winner gets the girl. In other generations, they punch it out. The winner gets the girl. In other generations, they have a sword fight. The winner gets the girl. In the cowboy movies, they have a duel. 10 steps, turn around, shoot each other. The loser is dead. The winner gets the girl. Right? You've seen this before? Why don't we ever ask the girl who she prefers? That makes sense? Nachan? It would ruin a lot of movies, but... Girls, the Arabs say Eretz Yisrael is theirs. We say she is ours. Do you know this is a satellite picture of the land of Israel? Where it is Jewish, it is green. Where it is not Jewish, it is still deserted. Do you know that when the Jews came to Tel Aviv 120 years ago, all you saw was sand? Today, it's a thriving city. Let's ask the land who she prefers. And just like she, the land, brings the best out of Am Yisrael, we, Am Yisrael, bring the best out of the land of Israel. That is a living bond, which even if, theoretically, you could get more kosher food in five towns, or theoretically, if there would be more yeshivas there, it doesn't make a difference. We love the land of Israel. Why? Because we love the land of Israel. It's not just a means for this or this for this. It is a living, loving relationship. That is point number five. And this is a crash course on why the land of Israel is a super.